turn your Bibles to the book of Galatians. I'm going to study the second chapter just a little bit, read there a little bit. It is a blessing to be able to read God's Word and study upon it. And it's such a blessing from one Sunday to the next. Studying and trying to prepare a lesson. And, I do this all the prayers of the church. And you remember me and Wayne asked the Lord to help me with this because sometimes I have such a time it seems like to get everything together. But even though that is what the Lord always helps out, lends a hand. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 8, we want to read you just a little bit concerning some of the things that happened to Paul and to Peter concerning the circumcision and uncircumcision of the Jew and of the Gentile, and how that there was a controversy with them and what all took place. And hopefully you will see our need of telling the truth about everything and being a witness to all that we can. And so I don't fully understand it all, but I've studied and studied. But anyway, maybe we can get the better part of it. But in chapter 2 and verse 8, it starts out, "For he that wrought effectual in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision." Now this was a Jew. "The same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles." Amen. So what he's saying is there was a teaching to the Gentiles that they needed to be circumcised, and that was it. And then Peter had this vision, and he understood that they were all the same. And there was no difference. But now notice here, and in verse 9, "When James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go into the heathen," so I believe it's the Gentiles, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forwarded to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he drew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision, which was a Jew. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, and so much that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation or their hypocrisy. And this shows there was a great struggle here, because Barnabas had come with Paul and he had heard Paul's preaching. But anyway, it says in so much that Barnabas also was carried away with their hypocrisy. "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" And what was happening, and I couldn't find the scriptures on it, and I don't know if there is what the incident where Peter was eating with the Jews and or the Gentiles, one of the two. And they came to him, and he run away because that he didn't want to be seen doing what he was doing. And Paul heard about it, because it says in the first part of in this chapter that Paul, that then 14 years after that, so during that time somewhere, Paul had, Peter had done these things, and Peter had also had this vision over in Acts, we will get over there in just a minute, about this sheep that was coming down, and
right.
God told him about that, the Spirit told him these things. But notice here, back in our lesson before I'm reading, in verse 14, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter, before them all, if thou being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing this, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
Now,
this is what Peter had tried. I mean, he had caused these people to believe this, and Paul had heard about it, and so this is why he said that he withstood Peter, and it wasn't a fighting withstanding, but it was a thing that was trying to correct Peter and to let the people know what was going on, because Peter, in some ways, had insinuated that it was a need to be circumcised in order to be a Christian by his actions. And Paul is telling him here this morning, he says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. And the law said, in the Old Testament, that they had to be circumcised, and this was that marking that God had told them that they must receive. But when grace came into effect, this was done away with. Now,
amen.
I want you to see something this morning over in Acts, just a few minutes, and I'll read it, Acts 11 to you, and we'll see what he saw, what Peter saw. Acts 11. I believe it is. Let's turn to Acts 10. There's two short points of 10 verse 9. Let's hit it that way. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up on the high housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And now this is the actual happening of what happened. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manners of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. This represented the mankind. This represented all the people. This represented those that were under the law. This represented those that were not under the law. But this is what this represented. And then in verse 13 he says, and there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. In which Peter was talking about the Gentile here. And he knew that the Gentiles was involved in this, and he knew that there was something going on there that he didn't understand. But he said, I've never eaten anything common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common.
Amen.
So this morning, this is something that we as Christians need to understand, is that there's nothing going on in this world that can draw us any closer to the Lord than to have an attitude towards all people, have a love for all people. And this is what God was telling Peter here, because Peter didn't go along with the Gentiles as much as he was a Jew. Now notice, and of course I know that Jesus had talked to him and told him, but afterwards, but this was done in verse 16. This was done thrice or three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. And while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiries for Simon's house and stood before the gates. Now this Cornelius was a Gentile, and he was a man that was trying serving the Lord, and he was the one that angel appeared to and said, Cornelius, your offerings and your work and all has been brought before God. And so he told Cornelius over here, he said, you send to Joppa and call for one surnamed Peter, and he'll tell you what needs to be done. So this is why that Peter seen this vision. And so but Peter didn't understand what it was all about. And so, while Peter thought on these visions, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now, Cornelius was the one that sent these people here to this house for Simon, before Peter was at Simon's house, and told them to bring him back. Now, they were Gentiles, and listen, Peter didn't go along with the Gentiles, but anyway, he said in verse 20, arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing.
Amen.
For I have sent them. So this morning, Peter, or in this lesson this morning, Peter had this assurance from the one that was speaking to him, hey, there's no danger in them. There's no reason not to go with them because you're needed. And so in verse 21, then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause for your coming? Of course, they go over and tell him that Cornelius, the centurion, is a just man and one that fears God, and a good report among all nations of the Jews was warned from God by the holy angels to send for thee into this house to hear the words. Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them and certain brethren with him. So we see here that this is taking place. Now, remember this, what we read over here before about Paul talking to Peter, and he knew that Peter had done some stuff that was not pleasing to the Lord. And so he told Peter all this and trying to get Peter straightened back. And like I said a while ago, it wasn't a fighting thing with Paul. But Paul was just trying to encourage him and tell him these things. And while I'm here, you know, in this, if we see someone that is out of the will of the Lord and we can help them, we need to be like Paul was.
Amen.
Like Paul said, I withstood him to the face. What he's saying is, I did it right in front of everybody else. And I told Peter that what he is doing. And so we, as God's people, need to understand and remember that this is the way that we should try to help someone. And it's not one of these things where you want to cram something down somebody's throat and say, hey, you're wrong. And you know this. Listen, you do it with a heart of love.
Amen.
And that way. That way you can gain a friend and still get your point across. And so that's what happened. So now, here is again, I want to show you what he found out. Then called he, let me look and I'll find it just in a minute. Here's where Peter come in to Cornelius in verse 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Now listen, Cornelius had seen this vision, and this angel was talking to him, and Cornelius, thinking that Peter was really a one that he's supposed to do this to. He did it, but listen to what Peter said. And but Peter, in verse 26, took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." So Peter's not taking any high road or nothing. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, "You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." And so this shows us this morning that what was on that sheet that was felt, what was being let down, was representing a people of all denominations or all beliefs and all this. When he done that, he's telling Peter, these all need to be preached to. All need to hear the same word, and they all need to go the same way and do the same thing. And so God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I to you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And of course Cornelius goes on and tells them all these things. Notice here, after that he had sent to Joppa and called for Simon, whose surname is Peter, he lodged in the house of one Simon. Immediately, in verse 33, "Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done, and are come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." So notice the love that Cornelius had for the people. He said here, he says, "Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." And so he was ready. Cornelius was ready because he had this vision. Peter was ready because he'd seen this vision. And so they come together, and they were a Gentile and a Jew there. And so then Peter opened his mouth and said of the truth, "I perceive that God is no respecter of person." So that was our other thing here with back in Galatians. Now we're going to read another part of Galatians. And we'll see here what has happened here. Now, after we read this in the 11, where he withstood Paul, Peter, but he said here, and he told Peter what his problem was. And then in verse 15, "We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ."
Amen.
Now here is the whole thing that this thing happened, because they could not get works out of the situation. And the Jew today that have not experienced grace of God, they still believe the same way.
Right.
They're still on the same highway. And he says this, that in verse 17, "But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid."
Now, amen.
Notice this, "But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners." Now, he's going to explain this in a minute. "Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." And he's talking about what Peter did. Peter had this vision and he understood grace. And Peter evidently got over here somewhere and was eating and drinking with either the Gentiles or the Jews. And the other side come in and he took off. And so Paul says, "Hey, you're singing two different songs. Mm-hmm. You're saying one thing one way and one the other, and you're deceiving." And this is what he's talking about here. "But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the thing which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. No, now for I thought the law, for I through the law am dead to the law, which I might live unto God." And so here in verse 19, he says, "For I through the law am dead." And the why he was saying this is over in Romans, it says I'm going to read it instead of trying to tell you. It's in Romans 6, if I'm not mistaken. Romans 6, the last two or three verses. Yeah. Notice in Romans 6 and verse 22. Being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit into holiness."
Amen.
"And the end, everlasting life." And now, in order to be free from the law, there had to be a price paid.
Amen.
And the price was death. And this morning, we that are saved have died unto sin, because the debt sin is paid for in our spirit. We have no more, our spirit has no more sin. It's been taken care of. Now, our flesh has not died, but our spirit has died. And I hope this is clear to everybody. But when salvation took place in our lives, we died mm-hmm. to sin.
Amen.
And there's no more, we're not guilty in the spirit of sin anymore, but the flesh is still guilty, in which it will have to pay its penalty when it dies. And
right.
So here, he says here, "Ye have your fruits unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death." There it is. "But the gift of God is eternal life." Now,
amen.
We know this morning that this flesh cannot have eternal life. There is no way it can, because it's sinful, and it will never be saved. It will die and pay the debt sin, but then it will go to the grave, and it's dead, and it will raise glorified body. So
amen.
He says here, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So here, back in our lesson now, so as we get this wound down, and I hope this is going to be a help to you. In verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ."
Amen.
He's saying Christ was crucified on a cross. Christ died on a cross. He said, "I was crucified with him, and through his death, I can live forever." So he said here, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Now, people don't understand this, what Peter's saying here about Christ living in us. Listen, our soul is perfect. Our spirit is perfect.
Amen.
And Christ lives within us. And so, and through the Holy Spirit, he speaks to our soul. And he says, "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by law, then Christ is dead in vain."
Right.
And so this morning, anytime that anybody wants to tell you, "I work out my own salvation," or "you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do this, you've got to do that to be saved," you can tell them that they're wrong. Mm. Or you don't have to believe it. Because he says here, he makes it very plain, if righteousness comes by the law, by works, anything that you can do, then Christ has died in vain. And we know this morning that Christ did not die in vain.
Amen.
And Peter got the same message from Paul when Paul preached to him and told him this and straightened him out. And I think Peter was a better man, but Peter had his ups and downs, and Peter told the lady there at the door one day, he said, "I don't know him. I don't know the man." And so Peter was a strong person, quick to speak, but listen, he had his problems too. But
Right. Listen,
that goes to show you that we don't have a free ride. We have our problems too.
Amen.
We have our problems every day, and this old flesh that we have, the devil uses it on us and deters us and makes us do things that we don't want to do. But the thing of it is, as Paul said, "Oh, wretched man am I." And that's my shape, and that's your shape also. As long as you're in this flesh, as long as you're living in this flesh, that's your problem. So anyway, that's our lesson today. Thank you for listening.
Amen.